Welcome to Preservation State with your hosts, Philip and Christopher. This is episode 1, August 12, 2013. The origin of the apps.
Well, the origin of us, of the show.
Oh, sure. Yeah, is that something you want to cover now, or is that something that, again, gets saved for a later time?
I think you've got to start at one. You've got to start with the origin.
All right. Let's hear it. What's the origin?
Well, I don't know. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, how did I remember emailing you at, and it was something about Hewless. And, but at the same time, like it was, I think I was basically complimenting you off of when it was, I mean, because I didn't buy it until I heard it on Gruber's episode. And then I was full throttle into it. And somehow, you know, we just kind of talked back and forth a little bit. And I was just posting up Hewless pictures. And so it became kind of a Twitter thing.
Yeah.
And then how did I, you know, and then ADN.
Well, I know I just did a search in my email as you were talking there. Don't worry, I was listening.
Right. I know you were. You can't help it. You've got headphones on. You can't help but listen.
Exactly. But the your son just posted up on Twitter there. But it looks like our first direct contact via email was on January 19th. And you sent an email with the subject line, Hewless Bug, maybe?
Nice.
Yes. It was an issue with Instacast and Hewless not playing properly together.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And that had to do with, at that time, our implementation of volume shutter release.
Yep.
But that has been alleviated.
Of course, now, at the same time, now I can go against Instacast now because I'm using Downcast.
Right.
But, you know, that one, that app seriously had some, and they put that Instacast 3 together. And I didn't even bother with it, but like that thing was a real hog. I mean, it was just, that's a side note, but it was a great app for what it was. But I mean, I really wish I'd done Downcast earlier.
Right. Yeah. I hear you. Personally, I haven't gotten into any of the third-party podcasting apps. I admittedly have purchased both Downcast and Instacast, but you know, I found that I'm just sticking with the Apple's podcast app, mostly because I assume / hope that
they bring the reels back.
I wish they brought the reels back. We both agree on that one.
Correct.
But more specifically about functionality, I'm hoping that Mavericks, you know, OS X Mavericks and iOS 7 will sync podcast status, etc., across all your devices. And when that happens, you know, I want to be there. I like that kind of integration.
Well, and that's all I was using. Like, I had completely ditched Instacast. I was just going with the podcast app. The only thing that I really missed was, like, the show notes. That's really the only thing that I missed. And I don't...
Well, they're in there, though. They're in the podcast app. Oh, yeah. Sure.
How did I miss that?
if you when you're in the podcast app, if you if you're looking at a specific podcast, there, you know, on the left is the list of podcasts, on the right is the list of podcasts within a podcast. On the very right hand side is a little iInfo button, and if you hit that, you get a panel with the show notes and the and Marcus played, etc.
Oh, you know, my gosh, are you kidding?
Granted, those, that's not going to work. You know, that's not show notes in terms of, you know, the kind of show notes that may accompany a Merlin show. You're not going to get those in the podcast app. You're only going to get those on the website. Does Instacast or Downcast actually, like, go so far as to give you the show notes off of the website, like those lists of links, et cetera, that you get from a Merlin show?
Yeah. I mean, it's right, you know, it very similar to like Instacast, it kind of populates it right in.
Okay. Yeah. No. You're correct. Then the Apple Podcast app gives you a summary of that episode, but it does not give you full show notes. You are correct. Yeah.
Well, I'll never. Yeah. And the thing is, like, I'm not totally into it, like, at all. Like, sometimes, like, I really don't look at it very often, but when somebody makes mention to it, it's like I almost want to instantly look, and I miss it.
Right. Yeah, and you know, part of that is just, you know, differences in usage, because for me personally, I rarely really care about show notes. You know.
And frankly, I got used to it with the podcast. I was like, well, whatever. I'm listening to it. That's the point.
Right. And if I feel, you know, sometimes Dan would, on a 5x5 show, would reference some obscure Buddhist this, or Merlin would reference some obscure that. And, then I would hop over to 5x5 real quick and find that link, you know?
Yep.
But that's rare, you know? Yep.
Cutting back, you know, when we really probably hooked up, I started the Flickr site.
Oh, there you go. Yep. Let's see here.
Cause I had set it up and I was like, you know, look, I mean, I set it up, you know, if you want me to do anything with it, I'll do it. You know, and if you want it, you can always have it.
Right. And most of our discussion about that was actually all via Twitter direct message.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. And now you caretake both the Hulis and Hugh Moore Flickr groups for us.
That's right.
Yeah.
And by the way, those are all looking superb.
There's some good photographers out there.
You know, and it's weird because I find that Flickr seems to be the place that, like, I don't want to say it like this exactly, but it's like where the real photographers want to display photos. And it just seems like there's a lot, it seems as though there's a lot less of, you know, the food items and other things.
Sure. It's not an Instagram, that's for sure.
No. Well, and you can get so much, you know, and it's always had that, the EXIF data. So you can, you know, you look and you can find, you know, what kind of camera they used, and, you know, usually it's an iPhone, but, you know, before, you know, the iPhone was the iPhone, I mean, you saw a lot different information yielded off of it.
Right. Yeah, I know Flickr's great for that. You know, when you post to Instagram, you know, you don't get to any, you don't get any EXIF, you don't get a very big photo, you don't get much of anything. And Flickr gives you much more flexibility there, for sure.
And it's a shame that Yahoo owns that. Because for some reason, they just can't seem to get it together. Like, they do awesome sports, like for fantasy football, which I'm hugely a part of. But they just don't seem to get it done in other ways. At least not that I'm concerned with.
Right, right. Well, I don't quote me on this, or I guess, you know, it's being recorded, so it's sort of like being quoted on it. But
you're quoted.
I'm quoted. My understanding is that Yahoo is really big in Asia, especially Japan. Like, they're, you know, Google not so big over there. Yahoo, huge.
Really?
That's my understanding. Yes.
Because if I want spam, all I have to do is open up my Yahoo account.
Sure.
They literally have the worst spam filtering I've ever seen.
Yeah, I have no personal experience with their email.
Well, that was my very first email. My very first email account was with Yahoo.
Wow.
And I thought that was super cool.
Oh, at the time it was. I mean, there was a time Yahoo was cool. That was some time ago, but, yep. You know, it's there
know.
Somewhere.
Yeah, they have these gems in, like, that they have, like these properties that they have. And I don't want to see them fail at it because, I mean, I think that their properties are very, very good. But for some reason, they don't have a unified, you know, for lack of a better term, Googleizing the whole thing where it's all one system.
Right, right. It very much feels like different properties.
Which is maybe to their benefit.
Possibly, but that seems sort of counterintuitive in you know, the market these days.
Right, because you want your people to be right in the same place at the same time, and you don't want them to leave.
Right, right. Want to keep them around. Use all of your services. Correct. Yeah, I don't know. You know, Yahoo, for some reason, has just sort of seemed to settle into some sort of mediocrity for the most part, you know?
And
flash there, you know?
No, no. And they still are sticking with the same stupid banner. And even though it's funny that happened, because I was looking at the phone, and they just updated, and then here we go with iOS 7. They just made a complete overhaul on their fantasy football app. And they actually are using like a Helvetica-like thin, except the letters are still up and down like the old, you know, the usual Yahoo masthead.
Okay.
But they did it with like, you know, like a Helvetica new thin.
Huh.
But they completely, made it look like an iOS 7 default icon.
Right, right. Oh, they're going to see a lot of that, you know. What is this, though? I just went to yahoo.com. What is this logo, I guess, in the upper left-hand corner with the Y followed by a pyramid? One of the O's is in a box. I mean, what is that? When did that come from?
Whoa.
I'm out of touch.
Whoa.
I am out of touch. I've never seen that. And that's a mess. Wow.
Are you kidding me? Wow. Somebody really wanted to play with negative space.
That's just a train wreck of angles happening there. Wow. That's painful to me. Painful.
What are they going for there?
the A looks very much like the all-seeing eye pyramid off the $1 bill. You know?
the Illuminati of Yahoo.
Doesn't it sort of look? Gives. Yeah, I don't know. It says that to me. I don't know.
Well, and then you have to really look at it, and then you see that it's a reverse space A. But why?
I'm telling you, it's just a train wreck of angles. It's just bad. It's got bad mode. If I knew anything about feng shui, I would probably know that this is not true. But to me, I look at that and I say that has bad feng shui. There's no flow there. The energy, the chi of that logo sucks.
Yes. Without a doubt.
Golly. That's what's going on there.
See, yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, when do I ever go to Yahoo? And then boom, there it is.
I haven't been to yahoo.com in, I can't even tell you the last time. It's been many a year.
Okay. Well, that's their new masthead. That's it. Because
lovely.
If you go anywhere, that's the thing. Boy, that sucks.
See, that's when you really need to question who is running your design department. You have to say to yourself, what's happening?
I mean, the thing is, like, they've got so many other good things kind of going on, but it just, like, you know, what seems cheap to me is, like, they have ad choices, which is, isn't that a Google property?
I'm not sure.
It might not be, but they've got a giant ad sitting right in front of me for Equifax. Like, it's so sad.
Ads make the world go round.
They got to make money somehow. But I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Couldn't you do it some cooler way?
No.
Okay.
Well, that requires imagination, and you know, companies like Yahoo sadly lack any real imagination. And what imagination does exist in companies like Yahoo is filtered out to a lukewarm porridge, you know, before it can actually make it to anything significant.
Well, and think about this. You know, frankly, I don't know what their workforce is like, but you know, if I was working for Yahoo in the past 5 years, I'd probably have already quit and moved on.
Well, so, you wouldn't be telecommuting anymore, that's for sure.
That's right. But, I mean, you're really, what kind of, you know, super creative workforce do they really have? I mean, they're probably, you know, it's probably at this point B-leaguers acting as A-league.
Right.
So sad.
Yahoo.
See, that should be their masthead right there. Yahoo. So sad.
So sad.
Leia just should apologize. I'm sorry.
All right. I think the last time I visited Yahoo was when they still had, TV commercials, and they had that, you know, Yahoo.
Right.
You know, that whole thing. I think that, you know, that was years ago. I don't even know how many years ago, but
they ran out of money for that.
Well, you know, but it's okay because they were replaced by GoDaddy. So, you know, we get GoDaddy commercials now. So there you go. Lucky us.
Horrible. Horrible. I can't stand that. That's there's got to be somebody better.
I think, you know, become a registrar. Then you don't have to worry about things like, where am I going to register my domains?
Yeah, you would think that they would just go ahead and get into they had the website business. Why not just go ahead and go full bore?
Well, they did. I mean, they do registration, they do websites, they do the whole deal. I'm saying personally, that's how I get around the whole issue of dealing with stupid idiot registration companies, you know, is just we became a registrar ourselves. Then we just can register any domains and we have them, you know.
That's a sheer line benefit.
Yeah.
Well, anything you want. Oh, yeah, I'll do this today. Done.
Well, and they're fully under our control.
So you can't get sniped?
No, there's nobody, you know, we don't have any issues with. I don't remember where it was, but, you know, years ago I had several domains registered somewhere, probably somewhere that doesn't even exist anymore. I can't remember. But the process of transferring the control of those domain names to somewhere else, to a different registrar, was just a nightmare. You know, the hoops you had to jump through in order to gain control of something that was essentially yours, you know, was obnoxious.
Yeah, it's funny because Moe Studio, I just got an email because there's a company in Italy that bought it, a couple of years ago, and it was the weirdest thing because I just got an email, something about SEO nonsense, which I haven't gotten in forever, and I actually forwarded it over to them because they had contacted me on, Twitter at some point. Because they again, this is another one of those companies that wanted, at Moze, and, they were trying to make a pitch for it. And I said, well, no.
How many zeros are behind that one?
Check? Look, I'll give it to you for 10 grand, but, or 20, it doesn't matter. But, you just got to come up with the right number. I'll relinquish control.
And then, right. I'll give you a package. You can have Twitter, and you can have Instagram, and you can have app.net. $50,000. Exactly. Nice price.
Look at that. Boom. Done deal. I'll let you be me
for that.
Yeah. I'll let you even be me on Facebook if you'd like.
But you can't unfriend my mom, or I'll get in big trouble.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And that's the only reason I haven't disconnected off of that. That's the only reason.
Yeah, I hear you. The only reason I have not quit the Facebook is to deal with the Curious Satellite Facebook page, because you have to be a member on a personal level in order to administer a business page.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you know.
Well,
the price you pay.
Yep. Well, what are you going to do? Of course, when I was doing all the Instagrams, I choked out and killed the city's website or the city's Facebook page. But but getting into there, once I did get in, I realized that we have like 5 different pages, 2 of which are, quote, people that are actually the city. It's the most confusing thing I've ever seen on how to even, like, I didn't really, because I was like, I'm going to post these, but I don't know where I'm posting them to.
Right.
Because I don't know who we're actually supposed to be connected with.
Well, usually what happens is with Facebook, you connect as an individual user, and then in the top right hand corner where it sort of has your, edit your profile and all that crap, little menu, under there, there's an option to, if you're an admin for a page, for a corporate or whatever page, there's an option there to use Facebook as this entity. And then you can post, et cetera, as that entity.
Garbage. I'm not going to be a part of it.
Garbage.
That's too hard.
What really annoys me is I have 2 Twitter accounts, one for Hugh Less and one for Hugh Moore. And Facebook will only allow me to connect one of them for automatic posting. Really annoying, really annoying. It's just like, come on, let me just connect both of them, okay?
See, and the worst part is then, if that, then, I know I'm saying that wrong because I always do.
If this, then that.
There you go. they used to be connected to Twitter, and then once Twitter went rogue, they couldn't connect in anymore, and that you had, because you had unbridled access.
Yep. Twitter shut them down. Yep. So it's real, it's a real pain in the butt because, everybody's, all these little guys are, see themselves as in competition with each other. So they keep sort of, trying to kill the other one by 1,000 cuts, slowly.
Oh, it's getting to be ridiculous. And see, the thing is, I just don't deal on Twitter anymore at all. I just don't deal well. It's just so noisy that I cannot hear it.
Well, that's what's so nice about app.net.
Oh, speaking of which, Dalton Caldwell is doing some sort of revamp to the website.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was adding some features, and I'm trying to remember offhand what they were. I think.
Well, I know recently they added post searching.
That's what it was. That's what it was.
Yeah, it's getting to be really robust, and you know, without all the bovine excrement.
That's right. Well, and you know, and especially for free accounts, I mean, it's kind of nice because you can't go above a certain amount. You know, you can have a bunch of people following you, but you know, you can keep it, you know, keep it in the family, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah. You don't, you know, I don't, I hope that I don't want to follow too many people on app.net because, you know, if you at a certain point, it'll just become as noisy as Twitter if you do that.
Yep.
It'll be more, you know, be more interesting content, I think, on par, but there'll just be too much of it. You know, you got to be selective.
What I do like about it, and I know you can change this in the settings now, was you could private message people that you didn't even follow or didn't follow you, which was kind of a nicety that you didn't have in Twitter where, you know, you could, you know, like I remember I had private messaged Jim Dalrymple, like all out of the blue. And, you know, it was like I didn't feel like there was a real big barrier to the people I wanted to talk to.
Right. You don't have to become friends first publicly before you can actually, you know, ask them a question privately.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nicety.
Yeah. And if you know, there's still the controls in place where, you know, A, he can ignore you if he so chooses, or B, he can block you, you know?
Done deal.
Right. So the privacy is still there, you know. I dig it. It's good.
So I'm looking at the notes because I really wanted to bring this up, which was the marginalized apps.
Okay. In what context do you mean?
Well, 1Password for the first one. That's the one I'm thinking of.
Oh, and what iOS 7 is going to do to their business?
I mean, is it going to decimate it?
Well, I think it's going to, you know, my take on it is that there are features that will not be available in the Safari, you know, implementation, or I should say the keychain implementation of passwords and such.
Right.
You know, there's more features there. So there's going to be a market for it, but I think the market is going to be diminished by the basic functionality being included in Safari on OS X. And I see, you know, except for hardcore users, their OS X, or I'm sorry, their iOS business is in big trouble because for one reason, no way for them to integrate into Safari, you know, on iOS.
Well,
that's
the
problem.
And, you know, I thought that this was going to be a problem with Text Expander, you know, because iOS had that ability to do short, you know, the what do they call it?
Oh, that's a good question. I will keep talking and I'll find out.
Okay. Well, but and to the point, like, number one, it doesn't always work really well. It doesn't always catch, you know, the little, like, the little shorthands that I may have done. And it didn't.
They are called, Apple calls them shortcuts.
They are. Okay. There we go.
And they are under the keyboard settings, under general in your iOS settings. Yeah.
And see, so they lost in the fact that, to my knowledge, they don't sync across, OS X, certainly, but they don't sync across iCloud for devices.
They do sync across iOS devices. They do not sync to OS X.
Now, see, that's that, and but right there, I thought for sure that Text Expander was just going to get completely punched out because again, Text Expander doesn't work in Safari, doesn't work in, you know, Pages. Doesn't work in anything else. But they have really succeeded quite well. But again, well, they have a lot of bells and whistles that you couldn't even put into a shortcut.
Right. One basic one, for instance, is a text expander snippet can be multi-line. A iOS shortcut cannot. Yeah, there's definite differences there, but I also suspect that Smile makes most of their money off text expander for desktop and PDF Pen Pro. I bet you that's where most of their money's at.
Yep. Well, and the thing is, I quite honestly, with if Drafts didn't support it the way they do, I mean, there aren't very many times I would be using text expander snippets. Well, see, but I use them a lot on the phone. But, like, you know, Drafts really took it to a whole another level.
Right.
I mean, I use it the most on the desktop.
And I actually, you know, to buck the trend, I do not use text expander. I do use shortcuts on my iOS devices, just a few of them. But, you know, automation of text entry is one of those things that just never really caught me for the most part. You know, I'm definitely not a Merlin Mann follower as far as that's concerned, you know.
And I think if I probably looked at my statistics, a lot of times all I'm doing is putting DD date down. I mean, I know that for a fact because I use that, you know, a lot.
And DD date inserts the current date?
Exactly.
I assume? Okay.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the main one. And then, like, JAX for Jacksonville because I don't want to have to type it all out. Or my email address. But see, even so, like, I can't use that except for, well, I mean, I only end up using that on the desktop anyway.
Right. Yeah, I just type things out.
but what was interesting about this whole thing with 1Password was the whole thing that Dropbox is somehow stopping its use, or it's stopping the ability for 1Password to sync across Dropbox.
Right, and I do not know the precise reason behind that, or the precise technology that they're getting rid of, or what have you. Is it just a decision where they're blocking 1Password, or are they changing something in their technology which makes it?
It must be something in their tech, because, you know, like, frankly, Dropbox wouldn't be aware of it. You could tell 1Password wherever you want to drop it.
You would think, yeah. Yeah, and that's an issue because, of course, until 1Password 4 for the Mac comes out, you know, I can sync my iOS devices across iCloud. But 1Password 3, the latest one for the Mac, does not support iCloud. So, you know, hopefully they have 4 for the desktop, which, by the way, they promised as a free upgrade for current users. Hopefully that's going to land here before the change takes place. We'll see.
Yep. Of course, if you use 1Password 3 without Dropbox syncing, you'll be able to continue to do so.
Right. So your only choice then for syncing to the between the Mac and iOS would be manual sync via Wi-Fi, a Wi-Fi manual sync, right?
That would be the only way I could see it. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, we'll see. Yeah, hopefully they're on the ball and they'll have version 4 for the desktop out, you know, in time. We'll see. I intend to keep using it. I think the new stuff in Safari is great. I'm glad they're adding it. But, you know, I store all kinds of different things inside 1Password, not just logins and credit cards, you know.
Oh, well, I mean, like, even with the whole keeping serial numbers for applications, I was, like, kind of amazed at that.
Oh, yeah, I do that. Any app that, you know, hasn't been bought through the App Store, it gets logged in there, of course. Yep.
I don't know. And it's a great way to generate passwords, number one. I mean, there's 1,000 different, you know, generators out there, but that's the one that seems, I don't know, there's something trustworthy about it.
It does a nice job. It's a nice piece of software, you know. What else is on your list, Philip?
Let's see. Oh, I could tell my super Apple retail story.
Oh, do tell. Everyone loves an Apple retail story.
That's right.
Yes.
So my son had an issue with, we're going to go ahead and say, the first gen MacBook Pro with the Retina screen.
Retina MacBook Pro.
Right.
Gotcha.
First generation, right out of the gate.
And that's the 15-inch?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Now, he kept saying to me, you know, look, you know, something doesn't seem right. And he would squeeze on the left-hand corner, and it would make a pretty nice little crack sound, like where the aluminum was flexing. Now,
not what you want to hear.
No, not at all. Because I'm thinking, like, wait a minute, hold on. This is unibody. You shouldn't have that anyway. I mean, period, flat out. You should not have that, in my mind. But come to, you know, if you really look at things, there is, you know, there's that a fairing at the bottom, and then you have the unibody.
Correct.
So, and that's where it was flexing. And this went on for a month or two. And of course, I told him to get, he had gotten Apple Care for, you know, 3 years. I thought, okay, well, this is a covered thing, because, you know, I come to find out that, you know, he was watching a lot of Netflix and whatnot, YouTube on his lap, which,
ouch.
Yeah, well, I mean, you think laptop, oh, I put it on my lap, but you know, the thing heats up. I mean, that's just what it does.
Boy, he's going to sterilize himself at a young age. You better be careful.
I know. That's what I was thinking. Because I remember, like, some of my old ones, I mean, those things would get crazy hot. Crazy hot.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Yes. That's right. Ding. So I end up kind of saying, okay, look, we're going to make the call on this and see what happens. And I said, are you positive that you never, you know, because I'm going to bat and I know that, you know, I just don't want anything, you know, coming out of this that we're going to feel bad about. Did you drop it? Did anything by chance happen?
Right. Did you spill a, you know, can of ginger ale on it, you know? Yeah.
Is there even a remote possibility that this could happen? Because I know what's going to happen, because we're going to drive 2.5 hours up to Raleigh.
Ouch.
And we're going to, you know, meet the Apple gods, and they're going to ask the question, and I want to be truthful with them. I don't want to have to play games.
Right.
So coincidentally, like, not like a week before we went up, he's got a dead pixel. And I'd never really even seen a dead pixel in my life.
In the quote unquote old days, dead pixels used to be like, it was the bane of existence of buying a laptop from Apple or from anybody. You know, it was just the state of the technology 10 years ago was like, am I going to get one? Let's see, you know.
Right.
I hope if there is one, it's way down in the corner, you know.
Right. Somewhere where it's not going to affect me at all.
Right.
But, you know, and I think when you add in the whole Retina aspect of it, it makes it almost like, even though, I'm going to tell you what, I mean, it takes a really keen eye to see it on a Retina. But, I mean, you know, you go to a pure black screen and it's sitting there just ting.
Glowing at you.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's locked on white. Yeah, but those are some small pixels, I would imagine.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, you almost have to have a jeweler's loop to really, you know, catch it. So we go up there, and I give them the spiel, and I say, look, we got a dead pixel, and I think that basically what's happened here is heat damage. It's flexed. This is not from a drop. This is it's heated up, and that aluminum has bowed.
Right.
And he also was like finding that when he would the hinge would make kind of a cracking sound.
Not good.
Right. Yeah. So, it had all the telltale, like something is not feeling right. So anyway, give it to Apple and they say, okay, great. We're going to send it off to Depot because this isn't something we can do here. Fantastic.
Sure.
And they said, well, now there is a chance that, and I knew this walking in, that Depot would look at it and say, this is damage and this isn't, because as they had stated to me, that like it was $800 straight up to get the display fixed. Straight up.
Yep.
That hands down. And so I said, okay, I understand that, but that's not, don't worry about that because that's under Apple Care. That's covered.
Right.
And then the body that could be seen as damage, we're letting you know now that it could be, so that you may have to pay for that.
Right.
And I, it was kind of one of those things where I'm like, I'll roll the dice on it. It's going out there anyway. So literally like, and the guy's like, well, you'll get it back. It was probably 5 days. It will hear something in a day and then you'll get it back in just a couple days, which I thought, and he, like, that was a problem. I was like, are you kidding me? That's super quick.
Right.
So anyway, we get the email and it's something like in the realm. Number one, they are calling it damage.
Yeah.
Straight out, which, I knew, I was like, oh boy. But here it called it damage. So that nullified not only getting the aluminum repaired, that nullified the screen getting repaired. So now we were looking in the realm of over $1,000 to get the whole thing done.
Right. And at that point, you might as well buy a new machine and eBay the one you have for parts.
That's what it came down to. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. It's like, and in my mind, I'm like thinking, I cannot understand this. Like I want, I've been a believer for far too long. You need to give me something.
Right.
So I started walking two different lines. I had heard some sort of urban legend myth that if you drop F-bombs and get really hot potato with customer service, that immediately it gets escalated and things get done.
Okay.
Well, I called customer service. Real, real, really, really nice girl on the phone. And immediately I think to myself, okay, I'm going to make a choice here. I started ventilating. And I didn't drop anything nasty. I kept my composure.
Yeah.
But I was a little bit more than like, I probably was, I wasn't yelling, but I definitely was being very, very firm and disappointed and upset.
Right. Right.
And I finally said, I apologized. I said, I'm sorry. I just thought that this could be different. What we were told was one thing and what you're saying is another. And that really is upsetting. And for the fact of the matter is, I didn't have a grand to put down into this thing.
Right.
Which, that was the brass tacks, the whole thing. So anyway, she says, okay, well, let me talk to the Apple store and let me talk to Depot and I'll call you back. 15 minutes later, she calls and says, okay, look, I understand what they said and what we're saying. And so I can't tell you what the price is going to be, but we're going to do the screen and that's under Apple Care. And then the other is for a price to be determined, which she said, I can't quote you exactly, but it'll be somewhere around $300.
Right.
Well, you know, 300 versus 1,000, I can deal with that. So we go up there because it's been sent back from Depot literally like in a day or two, and go up there. Now, here's the clincher, and here's where the inside information comes in. Now, I don't know how good it's going to be, especially in North Carolina, but it was tax-free weekend.
Oh.
So we get there, and there is a line pouring out of the store.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, I'm not going to stand in line because I'm not there to purchase anything.
Right.
I'm there for one reason alone. And so they let us in, which was super cool. Got in. And apparently, if you go on tax-free weekend and you're going to pick up, if you're going to pick up a repair, do it on a tax-free weekend, because they can't somehow, their system won't allow them to create the issue in there, because the guy comes out after about 5 minutes and says, well, here's your laptop. And we're about to hand over the debit card. And he's like, no. I can't make the transaction work. It's yours. Don't worry about it. It's on us.
Wow.
So from a grand to zero.
Not bad.
And of course, now on a side note, and I think I almost made the customer service rep a little misty. I just said, you know what? You make Steve and Tim very proud. I can guarantee you that. So I don't know if there was any sugar in the sauce in that, but, and I don't know if she made anything happen, but there it was. So if you're going
to, that's good. That's a happy customer.
And I think there's something to be said. If you're going to be a prick, don't do it.
Well, yeah, you know, there are, I guess, times when you're left with no other option, but I think generally it's you're going to get further being a nice guy.
And I had my time. I mean, I got upset, but, you know, and I was sure. Actually, I was rational. I said, you know what? That's not right. I'm sorry.
Well, and I think, you know, I agree with that. I think, you know, one of the tactics that I've used in the past and I think works well is, you know, you get a little upset and you get a little bit irate, and then, you know, and then you cut to the, you know, I'm really sorry. I'm just upset because I feel like I'm getting the runaround. I know it's not your fault, you
right.
know, kind of thing. And then go from there, you know.
I just didn't, I didn't necessarily want to get the Apple, you know, lip service of, well, we're sorry that you're sorry.
Right.
Uh-huh. You know, because that would have just fired me up right up. I'd be like, no way are you using that on me. I refuse.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, and it helps too when you have the Apple Store connection too, because part of what helped you through that was the fact that you actually had talked to actual people, you know.
And that was clutch. In the whole thing, because if that had, well, because even back in the day on my old 15 inch, the only reason that I had gotten service on that one, I was out of my warranty, and it was
right.
the MacBook Pros that had the faulty NVIDIA processor, and like, so every time I went to a flat, any page with any kind of flash on it, it completely like would hose like the way I would scroll through it. It would get all janky, like the text would get really broken, and it wasn't even so much flash. It would just like it just would get jacked up, and like I'd called, you know, and they kind of deny, and I was like, and then all of a sudden one like article crossed my path on it. And like where they kind of admitted that maybe there might be some faulty, and I got a new logic board out of it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes it takes them a little while to, you know, acknowledge a problem. I think, you know, I don't know what their threshold for numbers of incidents or whatever before they consider something a real problem, you know?
But yeah, I don't know what that number is either, because I know it seems to take a lot for it to happen. Like, you have to see it in the support site for a while before it becomes real.
Well, you know, and I think, but also remembering what kind of a company Apple is, and their, you know, their reputation and their personality of not speaking, you know, until it's time or what have you. My guess would be is a lot of those things, they show up in the discussion forums, and I bet you that there's people looking at those issues pretty darn quickly. It's just that Apple isn't going to talk to you about it quite yet until they're ready, you know?
And it's funny you mentioned that, because I had that actually happened to me on a Final Cut support thread. And all of a sudden, like, I got an email from Apple, you know, kind of asking for, like, my log files and you know, crash reports. And it was, you know, I hadn't talked to them at all. But they were, you know, they're in there and they're looking.
Oh, yeah. They've got teams of folks that, you know, their job is just to help out and monitor, et cetera, those discussion boards, you know.
Yeah, I was pretty pumped out that when I saw that. I'm running out of steam, kid.
Is there anything resembling a show in there anywhere?
I don't know. Well, I'm going to edit it down and see what we got.
See what it sounds like.
That's
see if
right.
it if it means anything. Yeah.
So, I mean, if people want to contact us and people want to find out more, where might they go?
Well, I think, you know, the first and foremost place that they would probably head would be preservationstate.com.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And if they want to speak to, you know, if they want to actually argue with me, you know, they could go to @Mose on either ADN or Twitter, and then what would they do for, I mean, if they really wanted to, or maybe they wanted to pay you a compliment.
Yeah, perhaps, you never know. Yeah, they could reach me on both app.net and Twitter at @CRSTFR.
So that's you're going vowel-less.
I'm going vowel-less. That's you know, short for Christopher,
right.
Sort of, you
right.
know.
Right.
It was short and easy, and it was available. There it is.
See, if I just reduced it down, I could have gotten a two-letter handle. I just
MZ?
Yeah, MZ. But that wouldn't have made any sense to me. Nor anybody else, because everybody would have said, oh, well.